Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
Is there anything anybody loves more than agreeing with Tauscher?
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
I got a hunch this isn't going to be concise either.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
I would say that you are pretty easygoing. You're actually probably more easygoing than I am.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Well, there's no, you're not easygoing at all.
Hey!
On 100.5 ESPN, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.
Feels like Friday for me. Edition. The Evan Cohen scheduled to appear edition. The Mark Tauscher. Bill Belichick. Same guy? Both really smart football minds who agree on something. Edition. And the... I'll tell you what. Doing a show...
Is there a laugh track?
Why
is there a laugh track
there? I don't know. I didn't push that button. Not me.
Somebody's getting pretty smuggy back there. Luckily, only works 2 days a week, so I don't have to put up with it that much.
I am so lucky to work with not one but two former offensive linemen on a regular basis. One every day, one a couple days a week. Because then I get to say smart stuff to Adam Stenovich and... Josh Myers, like, a lot more duo. Not as much outside zone. And then I look really smart. Edition. Like Bill Belichick. Of Wilde and Tausch. On 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam, ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker, streaming live video, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and, of course, everything you need on WisconsinOnDemand.com and the Wisconsin On Demand app. I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay. Jesse Nelson is in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios and from his undisclosed location where he and Bill Belichick share the same thoughts. It is the Packers Hall of Famer. It's Mark Tauscher. Tausch, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing good, Jason. How are you?
I'm great, but I want to get to this right away because I do not watch the Pat McAfee show. It's just too painful for me. Especially on Tuesdays.
Especially on Aaron Rodgers' birthday yesterday.
Yeah, we sent him a birthday text. We still care about him. First of all, he'd be on today, right? Because today is Tuesday. It is Tuesday, right? Okay. But I don't watch because I know that he is a big star and everybody loves Pat. I cannot, as much as you would tease me about buttering up guests, watching him with guests is hard for me to watch. So I don't, because I think that's best for everyone. But he had Bill Belichick on. Is he on regularly, Tausch?
I don't know. He was on yesterday. I don't know if he's on regularly or not. So you're asking the wrong.
Why were you watching the Pat McAfee show?
It's a good question.
I don't know. I don't know.
But good thing you were.
So what happens is you get these clips sent to you, right? Twitter, if you're on X, McAfee. I follow Pat McAfee. I think he's good. I disagree with you. I think he does things differently. He swears. He gets a lot out of his guests. So I don't have a problem with how he butters people up. Some would say you butter people up. As a matter of fact, that's part of your go-to. So you two are a lot more alike.
Yeah, we're very much alike. You should hear me swear.
No, no, no. I mean,
when I'm not around. When from
you do swear, but
F&A,
Belichick.
Man.
So I think this game coming up. Yesterday was a Monday.
It was.
So there's all this recap of what happened. I mean, the NFL week is kind of watch the game Sunday, recap, big storylines, decisions, mm-hmm. injuries, or Tuesday. And then Wednesday, if it's a really intriguing game, you maybe you'll start promoting and looking at the Thursday game. Well, obviously, we are a Packer-dominant show. And I think this game is – this is a huge game. This is a big boy game. And for Belichick to kind of make some similar observations, mm-hmm. Bill Belichick is a great football mind. He is the greatest coach to ever do it. Now, you can argue Lombardi. You can make other arguments. But Belichick's stats are what they are. He knows that this Detroit team, with all of these injuries, and he watches film, he knows that this group is battered, and he knows they're vulnerable. Mm-hmm. And for as much as you want to give McAfee grief, Belichick goes on about a minute and a half, and I sent Jesse, again, I don't have the clips, but I sent him the exact, this clip, 12:40-something to 12:40-something. And in essence, what he is saying is the Detroit Lions are not going to be able to hold up against great offenses and against a really good team because they're decimated. I don't know what you're laughing about.
We have the clip ready.
You sent me exact 12:40-something to 12:40-something, which was exactly how that went for me trying to find what you were looking
Jesse,
for this morning.
I was giving you attaboys.
Says,
Jesse,
says
so
right
let's
right
hear there. What Bill had
audio,
to say.
And audio.
It sounds
audio.
It sounds eerily similar to what I said yesterday.
Jesse, yes, and it's superior analysis, Ontario to the audio clip. Which Jesse found and has.
And I hope it's what he was looking for.
And if it's not, it's not going to be pretty. Here is Bill Belichick on the Pat McAfee Show, as heard by Mark Tauscher.
I think they need to do better than they've been doing. I think they've gotten away with some things, and it looks good now. I just don't know if it's going to last against really good passing teams.
Playoff.
Or quarterbacks that can extend plays a little bit. I mean, like I said, they got into a lot of trouble against Houston. And, you know, I know they ended up winning that game, but still, it wasn't all about the interceptions. It was about, you know, defensively, you know, some of the things that they gave up. And I just worry when they get against a good offensive team. If Love has a good day, if Darnold has a good day, which I didn't think really either one of them did, you know, what that would look like.
Lions-Packers Thursday
now they
night.
Now they can outscore people. And look, if they have to win 42-41, they're probably capable of doing that. But I think to really
like
be a
that.
Good, a well-balanced team, be a championship team, you know, they want to be better on defense.
So, and Jesse, great
clip.
Job getting that audio. What happened right after that was Belichick, basically McAfee said, Bill, it doesn't sound like you're on board with Detroit. And Bill, he went back to his coach because he didn't want to get after Dan Campbell. But in essence, what he's saying there is at some point, it isn't about want to and scheme. It's about players. And that's my point after watching Thursday. Green Bay is this way. Detroit is battling turbulence, trying to stay here. Because I sent that note over, I think, Sunday, Jesse, about the injuries and their preferred starters. Everybody is crossed off the list of their starting, the DNs and some of their linebackers. And, yes, they have a good offense. I think, and I tweeted this yesterday, and this is the stance I'm going into this game with. I like our defense against their offense a heck of a lot more than I have to imagine what Detroit's defense likes going against Green Bay's offense. Mm-hmm. And he also mentioned that safety from Alabama. The name is slipping my mind at this point.
Xavier
but
McKinney?
Kirby, no, Detroit's safety. The guy
Brian Branch.
Branch and Kirby are the linchpins, and if you steer clear of that, and that's why I just think this is going to be up at the old Ford Motor Lodge, this needs to be such a Josh Jacobs play action pass game, because you look at it and you see where Detroit is lacking, and you have to pound on them. You have to see how willing is Jamal Adams and being an every down linebacker, if that's what they do. You need to test, then you need to test again, and then you need to test a third time to see how willing their third and fourth string guys, practice squad guys, are going to be in holding up against our starting offensive line and Josh Jacobs and Kraft. That's what this game needs to be. And then you get Detroit scrambling a little bit. You get a lead in this game, you're going to beat the Detroit Lions. That's how I look at this. Okay?
They are definitely banged up, although sometimes teams...
I don't know. Jason, you're not going to be as bullish as I am. I think this matchup could not have come at a better time for the Green Bay Packers. I just think everything is lined up. Jordan's as healthy as he's been. You have Detroit as banged up and beaten down as they possibly could be. You don't beat Detroit this time, I think you're not going to beat them. You're not going to get them. This is the weekend. This is your Thursday night.
Yeah, look, I think that they are they ripe for the picking? Yeah, I would agree. I mean, they are going to be stronger if they don't sustain further injuries to guys that are currently healthy enough to be playing. They are going to be stronger when they get to the playoffs, because they are going to get some of these guys back. They're not getting Aiden Hutchinson back. They're not getting Malcolm Rodriguez back. They're not getting some of their pieces back. But they will get some other ones. Anzalone is one of them. There's a couple of others. There's a couple of defensive linemen that there's a chance they could play this week. But the fact of the matter is you're right. They are ripe for the picking because they are tattered and torn on their depth chart. Now, they've done a pretty good job of going out and getting names we recognize who may not be the players that they were when we used to recognize their names, right? Jamal Adams, Quan Alexander. I don't know how those guys are going to play. Are those plug-and-play guys that can walk right in and play for Aaron Glenn? I don't know that. What I would say is I have seen teams that have been battered and beaten down that still, by sheer force of will, find a way in a big game for them. Now, I'm not saying that Dan Campbell is going to be giving the Mike Sherman 2002 New England Patriots matchup speech, which I don't know what that speech was. But you remember that game. You were out with your knee injury. Was Cliffy out yet? Or was that before the cheap shot from Warren Sapp? I have to look.
No, I think Cliffy was playing.
But you had lost everybody and their brother out of the secondary. You got Todd Franz, who was hanging drywall with his father-in-law, out of the league. And you got Bryant Westbrook, a former top five or top 10 pick, who were both signed on Wednesday and were the nickel and the dime against Tom Brady and the reigning Super Bowl champs, and you guys went into Foxborough and beat them. I don't know how you did it.
Well, I'm not saying this. I'm going to tell you this. The Packers went from 6-point dogs, 5.5 to 6-point dogs all the way down, and Jesse put this up, to 3.5-point.
Yeah, I saw
somebody
that
else, some smart folks are thinking the same way I am, and I don't think this is a must win, because I think the Packers are good enough to go on the road, mm-hmm. win the first game, and then Lord knows how that rest of that shakes out. But your path and what it is, I don't think losing this weekend is going to send shockwaves like we can't win. All I'm saying is Detroit, I don't believe, will be in any weaker circumstances than what we're seeing them Thursday
night. I'm not disagreeing with you. My question is, are we getting a little carried away? Look, they've won 7 of 8. Their one loss is to the Lions, and their quarterback, as I have said repeatedly on all of our shows, looks a hell of a lot different than he did in that game. Limping around with a bad knee and a bad groin going into the bye week. Probably, maybe, shouldn't have played, throws the pick six at the end of the half, makes it 24-3, and basically digs a hole they can't get out of. Okay? So I get it. But are we getting, you know, LaFleur said there's some defense or there's some play that they run, and they call it taking the cheese, because they tease a defensive player to fall for a trick, and then it leaves someone else open. Are we taking the cheese a little bit on wins over a beaten-down, injury-plagued 49ers team, a Chicago team that was in complete disarray and still almost beat them, and a Miami team that came and experienced a 60-degree temperature swing, and for all their bravado of not being affected by the cold, looked like it was affected by the cold. Three teams whose combined record at this current time is 14-22. Are we getting a little bit puffy about the Packers, or are we accurately viewing them? Because I look at them, and I've swept up in it too, and of all people, it was Chewy that pointed out the combined record of these three teams that they've just beaten since the bye.
Who gave him that stat? He didn't get that himself.
I don't think he did the math.
Yeah.
Chewy, we love you, but you don't listen to the show anyway.
Josh,
so
I think, did that. Here's what I would say.
Okay.
First off, Miami, and I said this yesterday, the Dolphins need to hire a strength coach like what Northwestern has, because he pops out on the film. It was really cold down at the lake, and I saw some of the Northwestern game, where you're just wearing a T-shirt with the big arms, and you're just jacked up. They need to get somebody. You can't have a coach sniveling over there, freezing.
He was sniveling.
Setting the tone for your team. So if I'm Miami, I hire, even if you hire him for the week, bring somebody up there that looks like they want to be in the cold.
Sure.
Because that was brutal. But there is not a doubt in my mind that this Packer team, as of 12-3, 2024 at 9:17 a.m. This is the best version of this team so far. This group right now is playing its best football on both sides and on special teams.
Well, I'm with you.
That's what Matt LaFleur's teams do. That's why I don't panic in September. Last year I panicked in October because we just looked like garbanzo. This year, we have gotten that much better, and I think staying healthy and getting healthier and actually having almost everybody that you available to you, you're in it. If Jair can come back, and you just feel really good about your team, and that at this time of the year, you want to keep doing this. And my guy Belichick always said Thanksgiving is when you start separating the gravy from the turkey, the cream from the milk. This is when you start seeing things rolling forward. That's where this group's at. And I think the Green Bay Packers, they're separating themselves. They are a team. There's only so many teams that are going to be doing this. Green Bay is one of them. And we'll find out a lot about them Thursday night. I expect to see a really good showing from the G&G.
Are we the gravy or the turkey?
I don't know.
The turkey.
What? Okay.
The wheat from the chaff. I guess then that if the cream rises to the top, and the gravy is separated from the turkey, that would make the best windows in the business. Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, the cream and the gravy.
And sure, your home remains comfortable before we reach the brutal post-holiday winter. Already you can feel what's great about being in our house. We don't have to worry about those drafts coming in. We got Pella. Mm-hmm. If you don't, save your money. Don't have crappy windows. Go to Pella. And, yes, Santa Claus is ready. He is magical. But his elves, no. They're not qualified to build Pella windows. Just too many options, too many customizations for those little elves. So instead of going through the big red fella, take advantage of this Pella deal. Get as low as $19 per window and $81 per patio door per month. Certain restrictions do apply. This offer ends on New Year's Eve. Visit PellaWI.com to learn more.
We'll discuss further the struggles in the training room and the medical situation of the Detroit Lions and how that impacts Thursday night's game next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Slow down on Monday.
So, speaking of great minds, Mark Tauscher, Bill Belichick, Adam Schefter is on the same page as you guys as well. Quoting him here from, you guessed it, the Pat McAfee Show. He says,
everybody's
quote,
there.
Yeah, it's where all the cool kids are. I don't know how many more guys they can lose and still play like this great Lions team that we have seen. I guess my question for you, and I know you missed time with an injury yourself that year, is did we forget what the 2010 team did in the face of adversity and injuries?
This is different. This is different.
Why?
There was not a wholesale... Like, yes, there were injuries, and Nick Barnett and myself and, you know, Ryan Grant, there was a bunch of guys that got hurt. But it wasn't Cullen Jenkins and Clay and BJ. I mean, that's what you're talking about. You're talking about a whole unit of guys for the Detroit Lions getting
gutted. Michael Finley was a
their
pretty big
seven.
Loss. Nick Barnett was a pretty big loss.
Well, Desmond Bishop stepped up. And
he did. So did Brian Bulaga. But
I'm trying to say is it's not one guy. Obviously, if Aaron Rodgers was out for the season, we're not winning it, right? And if Clay Matthews is out for the season, are we winning it? Probably not. If B.J. Raji was out, are we winning it? Probably not. There are some – Aiden Hutchinson is Clay Matthews on that
I agree.
Team.
Yep,
if
I agree.
If Charles Woodson misses a ton of time, are we winning it? No. So it's not always just, you know, who's
I understand,
it's
about not just
who,
the numbers.
And it's about the full unit. Jason, you can overcome one injury, and you can find ways to do it. You're talking about gutting an entire group of guys.
Right, and so they go out and get Za'Darius Smith, who has been pretty good for them, it would appear, right? They chose to move on from James Houston, despite the injuries. They could have kept him, and that would be one less name off the list, but he's not injured. They moved on from him. They are getting, I don't think this week, obviously, but Onwuzurike, if I'm saying his name right, one of their D tackles, he's going to be back. He's not done for the year. I think
Eric
they might
Unverzat?
Get past...
Is that who you just said?
No, I wouldn't say that name. I think they're getting Pascal back as well at some point, maybe even this week. What I'm saying is you may be right about this battle, that the injuries may certainly help the Packers' chances of winning in Detroit. But they're going to get Anzalone back. They've got some pieces. I just think you may be, you and Bill and Adam, underestimating that they're at 11-1 now. They've got a win in hand against the Packers, who do not, they have some ground to make up in terms of division record. Even if the Lions lose this one, and they have a couple of other tough games left on their schedule
Buffalo.
As well.
Yes.
They are. I'm still not sure that it'll be enough for them to lose the division crown, and then they get some of these pieces back, and then you feel like, okay, because you're right. The Packers are going this way. If you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, etc., they're going up, and the Lions, as you so eloquently put it, are dealing with a lot of turbulence. But
it's choppy.
They get some of those guys back. And they'll have gotten through that turbulence, and maybe they'll have lost a couple games, and then the plane will have stabilized, and then they're ready to fly to New Orleans.
Unfortunately, you're kind of missing my point. And that's maybe I'm not being succinct enough. What I'm trying to say is That's why this week's game is so important for the G&G. Because, yes, Detroit will get a couple guys back.
It's important no matter what.
They're vulnerable. And you have an opportunity.
If they weren't vulnerable, it wouldn't be as important?
No. This is a lot because the schedule, I believe winning the division is important. And somebody just tweeted at me about the number one seed not being that important. Hey, I was wrong.
It wasn't in 2021. Yes, that's very fair.
I still believe that's, especially for a team that's injured, it is important.
Yes, they need it.
Because you can't get eliminated. You know, like the Dallas Cowboys last year who never lost at home is probably thinking, oh, that's no big deal. We're playing at home against the seventh seed. Bing, bang, boom. Next thing you know, you're going home and everybody's getting thinking about firing people. So it is still important. But why I think it's because the Packers' only chance to not be a road playoff team is this Thursday. That's why this game is important. And the vulnerability of the Lions, it's now. That doesn't mean it will be in January. But that's not what I'm talking about. I look at things week to week, and then I look at the big picture.
Interesting.
That's where I'm at, Jason. So, yeah, Pascal's going to be back, and Siakam is going to come from Toronto, and he might be a DN, or he's with the Pacers. I don't even know. They're going to start bringing NBA guys in. Great.
Siakam.
You said Pascal. I'm going to bring Siakam because I'm an NBA guy.
Pascal.
So, all this is great. But, Jason, that ain't Thursday. And that's the vitality of this game is because the Detroit Lions are a vulnerable operation. That's what Bill's saying. That's what Old T's saying. And that's what Shefty's saying. And you're bringing up teams from 2002 and what all this other stuff and bringing up Pascal Siakam coming in off the edge and Zadarius. All that's great. The point I'm making, and I want to be crystal clear, is this Thursday is a must-win for the G&G if they want to chase that one seed, two seed divisional round, and they're never
totally
in
agree.
A better spot versus this Detroit Lions team.
It's a must-win.
I thought I was clear, but obviously I wasn't because you're breaking out David Rumchada from the safety against the Patriots back in 2002. Like, okay, that's cute, but I don't. What does that have to do with now? I guess
David
I was having a hard time piecing
David
this all together.
Rumchada.
Yeah, that's safety. Kozavarikin or Rumchada.
Kevin Morgan wasn't available.
Kevin Case Verhaeren, who did not play in that 2002 game. Todd Franz.
Well, what Case Verhaeren would say is pour me in, coach, from a seat in the stands to the best seat on the couch. Pascal Siakam, you're coming on down. Root for your favorite team with your favorite team spirit. Stack a spicy bloody, salt the rim of a Tito-rita, or take home the win with a Tito's and whatever your heart desires. You change up your roster. You wash that lucky jersey as long as you make Tito's your first-round bottle pick. Whose house? Tito's house. Find cocktail recipes for every fan at titosvodka.com. Crafted to be savored responsibly.
So just to clarify, it's a must-win game because they're vulnerable. And when I say it's a must-win game, regardless of if they were vulnerable or not, you agree with me, right? If you want to win the division.
No, I think it's different. I do think it's different. Because if the Lions were at full tilt, they've been the best team in the league. And all of a sudden, you have to look at things in a bigger perspective.
You just told me you look at it week to week.
No, there's different tiers of must-wins. There's must-win one and must-win two. This is a must-win
one. Well, obviously, playoffs are must-win.
To avoid... To win the division, they have to win this game. Doesn't matter if it's Eric Hipple and Barry Sanders and Megatron and Herman Moore out there.
But, Jason,
It doesn't. They got to win. If they want to win the division, they have to win this game. Don't have to win
Sid's
this game
playing,
to make
Sid's
the
playoffs. Playing the School of the Deaf and Blind, or she's playing a Schwabenau Jaguars A-team. And both games, if you win either of them, you're probably going to be heavy favorites against the School of the Blind and Deaf, right? And you're probably going to be big dogs against the Jags. So, boom, boom, boom. All right. It's probably more so of importance to win that game when your team is downbeat a little bit in comparison. Because if the Lions can beat you with this group, I'm guessing they're going to feel really confident, and the team is probably going to be wondering. I don't know if Anzalone's back and all these other guys. There's differences about what a team is bringing to the table. Maybe not. You just look at it differently, which is fine.
I agree that they're vulnerable. I agree that to win the division, it's a must-win game. But it doesn't matter who they're playing. If I'm the Packers, I'm looking at this as we have to win this if we want to win the division, period. Doesn't matter. And we have a better opportunity because they're missing some pieces. But we can't. Here's the thing. As a former NFL player, do you want that thought process entering your locker room? Well, they're really
I'm an analyst. I'm analyzing the game. From a player's standpoint, put whoever you want out there. That's not what I do now.
So I understand, but I'm asking you now.
So when we're talking clock, I just want to make sure everybody knows. I read the read at 9:32 to get to EVCO. I just want to make sure that's on the docket for everybody. Jesse, continue. Continue, Jason.
Evan Cohen joins from a us former, next.
Hey, it's from Will a D former player's standpoint, Jason.
Evan. You Mr. Clock Watcher, we'll bring it up to Evan. Okay.
Mr. What?
Clock
Excuse me?
Watcher. Oh. I made very sure that I said clock. C-L-O-C-K.
Very interesting.
Okay, Evan Cohen joins us next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com. I'm throwing caution. What's it gonna be tonight?
The national perspective on Packers Lions, and as a Patriots fan, whether he loves Bill Belichick, he loves Mark Tauscher. Did he ever think that both of them were essentially the same person? It is Evan Cohen from Unsportsmanlike. Evan, good morning. How are you?
In what way would Tausch and Belichick be the same?
Why are you laughing? Hey, why are you laughing?
Because I thought it was a pretty good setup.
Curious.
No. I'm talking about
him.
Why would you guys be the same?
Well, no, I think our football acumen, very similar.
Very similar. Yeah, very similar.
So, Evan, here's the gist of it. I said after the game and then really yesterday, since that was our first day back, that this game, Detroit is beaten down. Their front seven is decimated by injuries. This, when you see a wounded dog, you want to go, well, that's a bad term. When you see a team that is beaten down, you need to pounce. And the fact that the Lions are ahead of you, and if you want to have a chance at winning this division, the fact that they're beaten down felt like Belichick on McAfee yesterday was saying the exact same thing as I was, that good offenses are going to torch this Lions team. That's where the comparisons come from. What say you?
Yeah, I think that makes some sense. I'm interested, though, in the overall concept that you guys are still talking about the division. And I know, you know, obviously with a game against the Lions, what, if the Packers win, Lions lose, then it's one game back? And you're talking about a Lions defense that is just decimated with injuries. I get that. I'm just surprised the division is a focus. So, like, help me with this. So, let's do the if then what. If the Packers win the division, then what happens differently outside of the singular maybe two maybe home games, which I know is a big deal, but it's not like we haven't seen them win on the road historically. So what is the big difference between winning the division and not winning the division in your mind here?
Having a chance at the number one seed and the bye, and the Lions not having the number one seed, because while Tausch was wrong about the 2021 number one seed being the most important in football history, I think a team like the Lions that is beat up as much as it is would love to limp its way. I know I'm not supposed to compare them to the 2002 Green Bay Packers, who were injured all over the place. But the Green Bay Packers in 2002 went to the New York Jets, and if they won, they'd have the number one seed. And instead, they got blown out by Wayne Krabet and company. They fell to the number three seed, and then they lost at home for the first time in Packers history in a playoff game to the Atlanta Falcons. You can't lose if you don't play. And so if the Packers can get that number one seed...
That's an interesting one.
Yeah. So if the Packers can get the number one seed and the Lions now aren't, not only are the Lions not a division winner and not the number one seed, but now they have to play on the road the whole way
outside through. Outside in the cold. Yes, I think it's really important to get them. They're indoor cats. Those Lions are indoor cats. They played almost every game indoor. Why?
Okay, a couple of things on that. Okay, yeah, a couple of things. First of all, Jason's answer was tremendous because it actually proved Jason to be right and me to be right simultaneously, which is interesting.
Nice.
Everything you're saying makes sense relative to the past for the Packers. The reason I asked the question was I saw no direct impact for the Packers' play. And what you're saying is actually confirming that, because it's the avoidance of the Lions, not anything so much better for the Packers in terms of, well, the Green Bay Packers get to do X, Y, and Z. The second part, in terms of the cold weather, this is where it's tricky. So how do we look at cold weather or assumptive cold weather teams that don't play in the cold? What do I mean? I have no fear, if I'm a Lions fan or a Chargers fan, just as two examples, of them playing in the cold, because I think they're built for the cold. Mm-hmm. And yet you're saying, Tausch, you do not believe the Lions are built for the cold. I always assume teams with big offensive linemen and a strong running game are built for the cold. Am I wrong to assume that?
Whoa. So they are, their run game travels, no doubt. Their defense with this will not. But is Jared Goff a cold? Look, watch what he did in the slop down here. He had one good drive, and then it was a pick six. I think Goff is a much better quarterback indoors. A much better quarterback.
Yeah, the numbers bear that out.
And I think getting him outdoors is a big advantage to the G&G.
Right. And that makes sense. I also think every conversation we're having would indicate that you both believe the Packers would lose to the Lions in the playoffs.
If they were at full strength, I think Detroit has been better this season. They're not at full strength, and I don't think they'll get back to full strength. We'll see. But if, yes.
Well, what I would try to do
that,
if I'm the Lions right now, Tausch, what I would try to do if I'm them, and I said it on our show today, and it's happened a million times, I'm getting to my leaders of my team, and I'm calling them in the room, and I'm asking them, who do you know that play defense on bad teams, and can they get themselves released? Because we need help.
Yeah. Well, good luck, but the problem is they're going to be the lowest on the waiver claim, and that it's not going to happen. So I get what you're saying.
But I thought the waiver claim is, yeah, but I thought that's almost, it doesn't apply to every player, I thought, if I'm not mistaken.
No, it does veteran now players, after the trade deadline. They all
I think
are,
after the trade deadline, you can't.
To your points, before you guys continue, because I know usually this segment becomes the two of you matching
yeah,
wits.
Yeah, it's very serious. I'm very uncomfortable. Yeah, go ahead.
Going into this December, his record in outdoor playoff games in cold weather, 9 career games, 56% completion percentage, 1,996 yards, 9 touchdowns, 9 picks, a rating of 72.6.
So he's a lot better in domes.
He is clearly not as good in cold weather. And Jared Goff can say the same things Tua did, which is that's the narrative, and I want to stop the narrative, but he's not as good.
And I want to give Evan some grace, because they are built, when their O-line is fully healthy, and they got, what is it, Sonic and Knuckles, I think they call themselves, which I don't know, I'm not a Sonic guy. But they are built to run the football and to do that. And that's
and their
where
defense,
they're at.
Too. I think their defense can play well in cold weather. I don't think that we can dismiss them either. We're just basically saying it's the quarterback that is not as effective.
I'm putting it on Goff, for sure.
I'm with you.
So a question on this. If the Packers win Thursday, and if the Packers somehow, some way, become the number one seed in the NFC, are they going to the Super Bowl?
Great question.
Yes.
What you're telling me is that you believe a win Thursday catapults them into the number one seed conversation, and simultaneously you're telling me Detroit, with the injuries on defense and the numbers on offense in the cold,
Buffalo
and not winning
yet
the cold,
on their schedule. Buffalo on their schedule. Yep.
Basically, a win Thursday, and you guys are picking Green Bay to go to the Super Bowl. That's what you're telling me.
That is not, no, no.
I am not saying that. I'm saying if they don't win that.
They just said if they win Thursday, they'll win three.
No, no, no. Stop with that foolishness. Don't be that guy, Evan. You're better than that. No, you're better than that.
No,
you said if they get the one seed.
Is that what he said?
If they get the one seed. Winning Thursday, here's the deal. Evan, here's the deal. Thursday night, I have said this is a monster game for the Packers if they have any hope to be the one seed and to win the division. You could argue, who cares? They're going to win on the road. They could. If they win, they have an opportunity. If they lose, it's donezo. Bring out the clown. They aren't winning the division. They're going to be the 5 or 6 seed. That's what I said. So don't misconstrue any of the foolishness you just said with anything else.
Yeah, I think you're speaking foolish. I just drove by somebody I caught in a pick just now.
Oh. How deep?
Was it Aaron Rodgers?
You know what? Well done, Jason. I don't shame anyone for picking their nose in the car. I'd like to just announce that publicly.
But you just did.
No, I just wanted to point it out as a way to get from point A to point B.
You did that to... All right, Evan, I want to talk
Tausch,
a little radio before...
Tausch, do you pick your nose in the car?
I pick my nose. I don't know if I'd say it's in the car.
Don't you feel like
not exclusively?
No, I mean, don't you think the car is the most common place where someone would pick their nose?
Yes, because you think you're alone, but you're not.
The last time you picked your nose, what did you do with said boogie?
I have tissues in the car, so if I need to pick in the car,
I bet you fling.
I go right.
You're a flick it guy. Back to your old days with Booger McFly. You're a flick it guy.
Well done, Josh. Well done.
Thank you.
All right,
Evan.
I flick every so often. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Don't try to act all prim and proper, like everything is Kleenexed up and all. Get out of here. That's what you were trying to do. All right, Evan, I text you on Thursday night. You, of course, were sleeping because you had tryptophan and everything else. Is it IPT, which is in poor taste, for me to text Ashton and Homer after I knew that the Packers were going to beat the Dolphins? I wanted to start the post-game show mid-fourth quarter. Is that IPT?
Yeah, I agree with you. No, because I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened, and I was a part of conversations where I could have sworn that we had conversations at different points about the idea that it would be a really good bit / smart programming. Because, like, at ESPN Radio, we can't do this nationally. This is not like, oh, wow, you're at ESPN Radio. I'm pointing out the benefits.
It kind of is, but
ESPN
it's
Wisconsin.
Fair.
Well, yeah, but whatever. I'm pointing out the benefit of ESPN Wisconsin. The benefit is, I thought we had a conversation that the Packer game ended when Tausch said it ended, and that you would tweet out,
I like
it's
that
over.
Power.
We had, no, but I'm saying, well, he would do the post game in the first quarter just so he wouldn't have to work too long. But the point is that you would then tweet out when the game is over, and then that's when you start the post game. And then the whole bit is, oh, my God, Tausch was wrong. The opposing team came back, and they were actually on the air during this comeback.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is where we landed.
I couldn't be.
No, listen. All right, let's not miss again. Evan, I don't want you getting the wrong impression because this was a discussion yesterday. The issue that I had with Tausch's idea, other than the fact that it was not because it would be good programming or smart, it was because he wanted to go to bed because he had the Badgers game the next day and he had to go interview Fickle at 8 o'clock in the morning.
That's not true.
Wow.
That's not completely true.
But it's partially true.
Wait a second. That's what we call in the business a Jesse. You should have said Tausch wanted to pull a Jesse and find a way to get out of something while doing something. That's the Jesse Nelson.
So
yeah, you're right.
Here is my issue with this. Otherwise, I even said it yesterday.
It's a really good idea. Like, it was one of those where, as has happened many times over the nearly 9 years together, at first I thought, God, what another stupid idea from old T. And it's like that Alonzo Mourning on the bench gif with the Heat. Where he's like, and then he's like, oh, And that's how I am with Tausch. It's a living gif. Because it is a great idea from a programming perspective. People who leave the game early, as we discussed. Hey, tune right in. They know they're winning the game. Now I want to talk about the game. Here's the problem. Tausch decided it while the game was going on, and so getting it disseminated just through Twitter or whatever else would be insufficient to get many of our fans in to listen to the program. And he did not, being the solution-based guy that he is, have anything better than what we just all tweeted out as a way to let everyone know, hey, we're on the air early.
Right.
That is what I said. Tweeting it out is,
it's not enough.
It's a second screen. No, it is enough.
It's not enough.
Evan?
Wait, but I just want to understand something. Evan? I want to understand something. When Tausch, when Tausch wanted to pull the Jesse, it was because you were getting tired and you had to wake up for the Badger game on Friday. Which I think by listening to the Badger game on Friday, it was clear you were tired. You were right. You were tired on Friday during that Badger game. I agree.
Boy, is that – that's not very nice.
Wow. That's got a sting.
Well, that's what LePay said.
All right, Evan, before we let you go –
LePay texted me and said, what's going on here? Tausch is asleep. What are you guys having him do on the day before a game?
Send me a copy of that text. Send me a copy of that text exchange. Okay, I'd love to see that. All right, Evan, before we let you go – college
Tausch
football.
Has decided we're letting time now.
I have not gotten into this yet with these guys, but I had a good spirited debate after the flag incidents where they're dumping flags on the field and people are getting pissed off. Where do you land on this as far as should they not do it? Is it to the victor go the spoils? Where's Evan Cohen come down on this?
First of all, there's nobody in sports that had a better weekend this past weekend than flag makers. I mean, they've never been in the news as much as they were this weekend with all of the flags. If it were me, and I was playing, you know, at my school, the University of Wisconsin, and we won, and we beat Minnesota on the road, we beat Iowa on the road, whatever you want to say rivalry game, I don't feel like I have to plant a flag at the middle of their field. Like, I don't get why
How about chop down a goalpost? How about chopping a goalpost down with an axe?
Yeah, I want to celebrate with my teammates, my coaches, my fans. Part of me wants to get the heck out of there as soon as possible because I don't want to be around the opposition. So I don't love it. That said, I also understand why players and people would want to protect their turf. I mean, I guess, Tausch, let me flip it on you for a second. Minnesota
Answer the question. Whoa. Don't wield the answer. Just answer the question.
I just said I don't like it. You don't listen.
You kind of did. And you said, I can understand, and I can do this, and this.
I want to ask you a question.
Okay.
Minnesota wins at Camp Randall. Minnesota wins at Camp Randall. They start planting a flag middle of the field post that win. You're a Badger. You're playing, so it's rare. But you're playing. Are you going after the Minnesota players in that spot? What are you doing?
So here is what, if I am the commissioner of the Big Ten, here is what I'm saying. Because there are so many trophy games, so many rivalries, we have done where it used to be we'd put the axe behind our bench, and then the Gophers would run through it to get, and they never won it when we played, but we'd go over and we'd just have it behind our bench, and it'd be no big deal because it's right there. But in the cases where Minnesota would win, they'd run over and come through the bench to get the axe. I always thought that was a bad idea. So what they did is they started sauntering it when you saw Minnesota was going to win. They sauntered it over to the south end zone by their locker room, and the Badgers got off the field. Once the opposing team is done shaking hands and off the field to do their media and everything else, I don't have a problem. Just like I don't love planting a flag, I like the axe. I think it's a great tradition, and I've seen it many times on the reels where we're chopping down up in the old Metrodome.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of the deal. That's why we love it. There's pageantry, and there's a ton of emotion. I don't have a problem, but make it that everybody is off the field so this isn't part of the deal. And if you win, to the victor go the spoils.
I'm fine with that. Josh, it's another good idea by you. I give you credit on that. Can I bring up one other thing,
thank
college
you.
Football related, about Aaron Rodgers?
Absolutely.
Sure. Okay.
Yep.
All right. You ever think about, like, what if it went in a different direction, what people's minds would be like? Like, there's a lot of fans today, Badger fans. I'm not one of them. I'm staying the course, that are not thrilled with the direction of the program and would love to see a different coach. And
where is Evan Cohen as a Badger alum? Hey, Evan, let me jump in before you finish. Where is Evan Cohen, Badger alum, big booster to the NIL? Where are you at when it comes to the state of the program?
Sorry? What was that line? Big booster. I'm not thrilled. I think that for a long time, we all heard Coach Alvarez talk about winning the Big Ten, and we wondered why he never talked about winning a national championship. And in its simplest form, you're not going to win a national championship unless you win the Big Ten first. I think that Chris McIntosh, understandably so, looked at Luke Fickell as a guy that maybe that can get them closer to the national championship. And I think we need to get back to our roots a little bit. Now, I'm not saying removing Luke Fickell. What I'm saying is let's focus on one step at a time. How do we win the Big Ten? Guys like Tausch, guys like Joe Thomas, the in-state offensive linemen that are going to protect for the fun and have depth at the tight end position and dominant players in the defense, as you see littered throughout the NFL currently. But I think get back to the roots a little bit, win the Big Ten before you win the title. Don't try to win the title without winning the Big Ten. That's figuratively and literally in that response. Now, back to what I was saying. A lot of people potentially would like to see Luke Fickell move on. What's interesting is if Luke Fickell had a great last 2 years, we also probably today would be having the conversation about Luke Fickell moving on. Because with Ryan Day losing to Ohio State, imagine if Fickell was dominant at Wisconsin. Everything we were fearful of, which was what if he's too good and what if Ohio State wants him? Now he's not good enough and Ohio State wants someone other than Ryan Day, and I don't know who they're going to get because I don't buy that Vrabel's going to go there. Just kind of an interesting change of path. Go ahead.
No, Vrabel's not going to college. He's not. And I think that would be a great problem to have.
Yeah.
If Luke Fickell was having so much success, that would be – I don't think any Badger fan would – we'd be disappointed. But if we had two straight seasons of great football and the Ohio State Buckeyes come and write a bigger check than anybody else, I don't think any Badger fan would be like, dang, we'd be disappointed. But I don't think that's the case. Evan, I think there's too many teams in this college football playoff. We shouldn't be battling about whether a South Carolina three-loss team or an Alabama. It takes a little of this luster, the fact that Ohio State shouldn't be in. They just lost as a 23-point favorite. They shouldn't be in the college football playoff. Is there too many teams in this college football playoff?
Yes, but Tausch, I'm the wrong guy to ask. Because I am voluntarily right now.
Oh, this is a lot of drama.
We're missing everything he's saying now. He set that up so well too. Do you just
what a tease for next week? That's a tease.
We're reestablishing.
I'm exactly the wrong guy to ask because silence.
Yeah.
Okay.
We lost them.
All right.
That's it. Good episode today.
Thanks, Evan. We appreciate your time. Have a great day. Take care. Be good. We will continue the conversation without him, or maybe we can get that point before we start the 10 o'clock hour, because there's still one segment left in the 9 o'clock hour. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
Let's go live to Evan Cohen's spokesman, Jesse Nelson. Like, if he were to pick a spokesman, I don't know where you'd be in his tiers of spokesman. But you're all he's got because he was disconnected, and he has informed you what he was trying to say about the college football playoff.
Evan Cohen is the only person who would rather go back to the BCS formula. Guaranteeing the two best teams, no matter what, play in the championship game.
It doesn't guarantee. It never guaranteed anything. There was still controversy. So, Tausch, let's start the. Let's take this under advisement and start the 10 o'clock hour there. Controversy may sell, but what does not sell is poor craftsmanship. And if you want to renovate your bathroom, don't go to some fly-by-night operation. Go to the best, and that's Kohler Services.
Indeed it is. If you need a bath or shower remodel this holiday season, what a great gift this would be. Turn to Kohler Services, family-owned for 150 years. Kohler is your Wisconsin manufacturer providing care for life, and this month only. Get 0 interest for 12 months and a free shower door. Yes, a free shower door with your Lugstone shower remodel. Visit KohlerServicesWI.com to request your free quote with fast professional installation, always included. Again, it's KohlerServicesWI.com.
The 10 o'clock hour starts in 2 minutes. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.